Some time ago here, the Lord began to deal with my heart about doing a subject on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm really excited about this because last week we began to talk about the benefits of speaking in other tongues. We're going to wrap this up here today. So just be believing with me that I'll be able to get it all out in the time frame that we have. Amen. Unless you want to stay till like 4 o'clock in the afternoon today. Okay. I know that you have nothing else going on today. So, but Acts chapter 1, verse 8. These are the benefits, and I'm going to give you 7 benefits. Someone said, if you're going to have a fit, have a benefit. Amen. Talk about the 7 benefits of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. Spirit-filled, it's all the same thing. Amen. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Amplified says, "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends, the very bounds of the earth." So, quickly, last week we began to see number one benefit is this, is that you receive power. Say power.
Power.
All right? This is the real deal. This is the real power. You know, there's people that want political power. There's people that want prestige and things of that nature. But we're talking about spiritual power from God. There's nothing more powerful than that. People talk about nuclear power and things of this nature and think of the explosive ability that that has, but that's nothing compared to God's power that created the heavens and the earth. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, "I believe in the Big Bang Theory." It said, "God spoke it and bang, there was." Amen. I'm telling you, when God spoke, some things happen. As a matter of fact, the same God that spoke the heavens into eternity is still expanding at the speed of light when he created it. Think about how big God is. So benefit number one is, we talked about this last week, and I encourage you, if you have it, pick up a CD. They're free of charge out at the book table after the service. Or you can go onto our website and download every sermon for free, just right onto your computer. Information's in your bulletin. So number one, you receive power. Number two, what's the second benefit? That tongues are a sign. If you go to Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and I'll just rapidly go through these first three here, and then we'll pick up today. Mark 16, verse 17, Jesus said this after his resurrection, by the way. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Number two, they shall speak with new tongues." So tongues are a sign and a wonder. It happened on the day of Pentecost. They were all kind of like, "What in the world is this all about?" It's a supernatural sign. And number three, if you go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Now, again, I spent the entire service last week on these first three points, so I don't want to take a lot of time. But 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4 in the Amplified, if you have that back there, bring that up. Amplified, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. And it says, "He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself." Amen? Say improve. Well, you know, we have shows that are on television about home improvement, things of this nature, you know. But let me tell you, there is one way to improve yourself. And I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I say, "This boy needs some improvement." Okay? I'm talking spiritually. Hallelujah. But he says that when you speak in a tongue, you edify, you build yourself up. Praise God. I mean, it's like going to the gym and using barbells for 5 hours. This is, I'm telling you, there's a spiritual building up. There's a spiritual edification. And in fact, that will lead me into today's point. We're going to go to Jude chapter 1, if you would. Now, this is right before the book of Revelation. If you would, turn there. That's Jude chapter 1. It's only one chapter. But Jude chapter 1, the fourth benefit of being able to speak in other tongues. And I'll tell you, there's been a lot of misunderstanding about this particular subject because people haven't taught it correctly. But there's so much in the Bible, in the New Testament, because what's interesting is all the gifts of the Spirit, there's, you know, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you're going to find that there are 9 gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, There's three gifts that say something. There's three gifts that do something. And there's three gifts that reveal something. Okay? And in the Old Testament, there were seven manifestations of the Spirit in operation. But when you go to the New Testament, there were two that were added to that. What were those? Tongues and interpretation of tongues. You will not find those in the Old Testament because that's for our dispensation. Hallelujah. But in the Old Testament, you'll see gifts of healings, working of miracles, gift of special faith, that kind of a thing. Right? And you'll see prophecy, you'll see discerning of spirits, those kind of things. But you will not see in the Old Testament tongues and interpretation of tongues. That is for the New Testament church, which is you and I. So there were two that were added. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And that is the dispensation that we're living in, is where the tongues and the fire of God come upon the believers. Glory to God. And you'll see that in Jude chapter 1, let's pick up in verse 20 if you would. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says, "But you, beloved." So we know that he's writing to believers. You don't call sinners beloved. We know that this particular letter was written to the church, believers. Amen? And he says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." How? "By praying in the Holy Ghost." Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, wasn't it interesting? Last week we saw that there was a doctor, Dr. Peterson, Carl Peterson from Tulsa, Oklahoma, that did research a number of years ago. And he put tongue talkers. He was a brain surgeon. Okay? Literally. And he would hook up Christians and do a test and probes and so forth. And he would look at their brain activity when they prayed in tongues. And he said this. I mean, they ran several tests on this. Penn State did the same thing. Right here in our own state. But he was the first one to do that. And there was activity in the part of the brain that never would be used for any other reason than when a person speaks in tongues. And he said this, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. He had all these $50 words that he used and everything. But he said that there was a certain chemical that was released in the part of the brain that aided the immune system of a human being only when a person prayed in tongues. And they would get anywhere from 35 to 40% of a boost of hormones that brought health to your body. And he said there's no other activity. When they hooked them up and they had them talk in English and carry on a conversation, but that part of the brain remained inactive. But when they began to pray in the Spirit, that part of the brain was activated, which released certain chemicals in the body that would aid their body 35 to 40%. My goodness. That means when you pray in tongues, you're going to get healthier. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, there's been just time wouldn't permit some of the benefits. I'll tell you, we're going to get into this. I'm believing the Lord here. But there's such power released when we begin to pray in other tongues. That's why the devil fights so hard about this speaking in other tongues. Amen. Someone says, "Well, I don't understand what I'm saying when I pray in tongues." You're right. But you know what? I don't understand Chinese, but I know it exists. I've heard people talking Chinese. I'm clueless as to what they're saying. You know, I can say kung fu or something like that or whatever, you know, but I have no idea what they're saying, but it's a legit language. Are you with me? Or chop suey or whatever, you know. You know, it's a legit language. Am I not correct? I may not understand it, but someone else does. Now, when you speak in tongues, the Bible says that you're not speaking to men, which would include yourself, but you're speaking unto God. It's the original head bypass. Boy, we need that. Amen. Because when I pray in the Spirit, we're going to see this today. When I pray, the Bible says my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays to God. My mind is unfruitful. But there can also be a thing, which we'll get into, I believe, today about the interpretation of tongues for the believer. Well, lest I get ahead of myself. But notice in Jude 1 and verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." How? "By praying in the Holy Ghost." What does that mean? That means praying in other tongues. You're building yourself up. Now that sounds exactly like 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, that you edify yourself. You build yourself up. Are you with me? So we can come to this conclusion in verse 20 that you receive their supernatural building up of yourself when you pray in the Holy Ghost. What if a person, what if a Christian doesn't pray in the Holy Spirit? Then they're not going to be what? Edified or built up. Are you with me? Sometimes, what's amazing to me, you know, we use scriptures, we sing songs about magnify the Lord. Now, really, can God become any bigger than He really is? Of course not. But to you and I, He can be. When I was a little kid, you know, we had magnifying glasses, and we found out some damage that we can do to some bugs and stuff like that. We used to catch them on fire and everything. Almost caught my parents' house on fire with it, you know what I mean? You pull that thing out in the sunlight, there's a little beam down there. Things start to smoke real quick. But, you know, a magnifying glass makes something look, an object look bigger than it really is. And the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you magnify God in Acts chapter 10. At the house of Cornelius, it said they prayed in tongues and they magnified God. So there's a magnification. What happens is when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in other tongues, it's not that God becomes any bigger, but He becomes bigger to you. And so I remember many times that I've faced adversity in my life. I've had a few days like that in my life, you know, and where the overwhelming sense of pressure would try to come against me, just like it came against you in different areas. And I would just go out and I said, all right, I'm going to go out and take some time and I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And I noticed that after about an hour or two of praying in other tongues, just letting that river flow, all of a sudden, that problem that seemed so overwhelming looked about that big. Amen. And it's not that it changed, it's my perspective of it changed, and I saw how big God was, but how small the problem really was. And it really helped me. And it wasn't just like psyching me up, it literally helped me, and I overcame that incident. Okay? Because when we magnify God, we make Him the center of our being. There, maybe you're saved today and you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you haven't used that language. And I just want to really admonish you to use that language. Start out 5 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be 2 hours. But start out and begin to magnify God and worship Him. Amen? But notice Jude 20, it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 21. Now this is all, I want you to follow with me in the word here. Verse 21 says this. This is all a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit, speaking with other tongues. First, you edify, you build up yourself. But look at verse 21 says, you keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So in other words, when you pray in the Spirit, not only do you build yourself up, but number two, it says you keep yourself in the love of God. Boy, how important is that? Hallelujah. You ever want to just chew someone out? Never? Mm-hmm. You ever want to get in the flesh with somebody? Give them a piece of your mind? Well, it better be the mind of Christ, amen? But we all have a body, we all have a flesh, and there's times that our flesh can be pushed beyond the limit sometimes, you know, and we want to give people a piece of our mind, you know, in the flesh. And we, you know, it's gratifying to the flesh temporarily. It feels good. But afterwards, you're like, oh, man, what did I just do here? I just opened my mouth, inserted foot. Matter of fact, both feet. But the Bible says that when we pray in other tongues, that we build ourselves up and we keep ourselves in the love of God. When someone does something to you to hurt you, they may not even be aware of it. Sometimes, most often, people aren't even aware of it. They'll do something and it hurts you or whatever, overlook you or something like that, you know. Well, there's that tendency to receive that hurt in our emotions. But the love of God is stronger than that stuff. Amen? Recently, I had something happen, you know, someone outside the church, not someone, I don't want to play with anybody's mind, but somebody outside the church had did something. And I stopped and I said, I choose to forgive that person. I choose. Amen? And what happened? It just went away. Instead of harboring that little bad feeling or bad thought about that person, I said, I choose to forgive them. I don't know what they're going through, but I bless them in Jesus' name. Are you with me now?
Amen.
And so what happens is you keep yourself in the love of God. Why is that so important? Because when you walk in love, you're keeping all the commandments. We only have one commandment in the New Testament. We don't have 10 commandments. We've got one commandment. What is that? The commandment of love. Because the Bible says love is a fulfilling of the whole law. If you love someone, you're not going to degrade them or lie about them, steal from them, cheat, right? If you love somebody, love is a fulfilling of the whole law. Praise God. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious when someone else gets blessed. Instead of looking down your nose at them and saying, they don't deserve that. I've been serving God longer than them. Now, what we need to do is when someone gets blessed, you say, I'm next in line. Praise God. Praise God. Are you with me? And that keeps us out of envy. It keeps us out of strife and all those kind of things. But notice in verse 21, it says, you keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22, and it says, of some having compassion, making a difference. Now notice that you build yourself up. Number two, you keep yourself in the love of God. Number three, you have compassion. Notice this, making a difference. How many of you want to make a difference? Compassion. There comes a divine flow of compassion. I have found this, that when you're linked to God, when you're praying and you're praying in the Holy Spirit, it's easier to yield to compassion. Now listen, if you're a believer, how many believers have we got in here? If you're a believer, you have this love already inside your heart. You have this compassion inside your heart. All right? But it's another thing to discover it and let it come out. All right? Now, my spiritual father, Brother Hagin, used to say this, and I'll never forget it because it helped. He said, when you yield to God in one area, it helps you yield to Him in other areas. And he was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. He said, that's the first and foremost way that we yield ourselves. Now, we understand what a yield sign is out on the highway. You know, you give the right of way. Okay? And when we yield ourselves to God, what are we doing? We're giving Him the right of way. Say, Lord, amen. I try to do that with every decision I make. I'm about to do something, or it could be anything. And I said, Lord, do you want me to do that? No, just wait. Okay? It's a different timing. And so when you practice yielding to God in one area, it's a whole lot easier to yield to Him in another area. Sometimes people get so used to just speaking their mind all the time, just no control over their tongue. Yeah. Speak your mind all the time. Mm-hmm. Folks, that'll get us in trouble. Amen? Ask me how I know. There's a right time to speak. There's a right time to be silent. And there's a right time to be silent. And there's a right time to speak. But the Holy Ghost will help us. The Scripture tells us in James that no man can tame the tongue. So don't throw up your hands and say, well, see, it says nobody can tame the tongue. So just give up. No, he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit helping us to tame our tongues to say the right thing. Number one thing we have to look at is when we're speaking words, this all ties in with this, is what we're about to speak, is it filled with love? Number two, is it filled with faith? If you use that as a screen test to filter what your thoughts that are coming to you, you're about to say something, you know. How many of you know it's easy to criticize somebody? We live in a world that, you know, it's all over the news media, criticism, criticism, criticize, criticize, criticize. But, you know, why do people criticize anyway? I think the number one reason that people criticize is it makes them feel better about themselves. Right? Why do people like to watch criminal shows and things like that? Because it makes them feel, I'm better about myself. I'm not that bad off. You know what I'm saying? There's that part of that flesh nature that wants to feel good about themselves. But we don't have to go that route. Are you with me? Praise God. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. Keeping yourself in the love of God. And so he says that you'll keep yourself. He says you'll have compassion. You'll make a difference. And then he goes on to talk about others you'll save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. And then he says in verse 24, "Now unto him which is able to keep you from falling and present you blameless and faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy." So you see all these different benefits from speaking with tongues. You build yourself up. You keep yourself in the love of God. You look for mercy and compassion, making a difference. Now, about 20 years ago, God had given me a dream, and I'm careful when I say that because there's some people that think you got to have dreams every week and things like this, but it gets a little spooky sometimes, to be honest with you. I don't believe in being spooky, you know. I mean, not every dream that you have is supposed to be a sign from God or interpretation. Some people get off the deep end on that stuff. And there are some ministries, and bless their hearts, they've developed this ministry about interpreting all of your dreams. Listen, all of your dreams are not supposed to be interpreted. Are you with me now? That gets really spooky real fast. But I'm just being honest. I mean, you might have seen ministries that are built, their whole ministry is based on interpreting dreams. That can get real flaky real fast. All right? However, there is a real dream. There is a real vision. Acts chapter 2 talks about dreams and visions. But, you know, those things don't happen every day. We get the impression when we read the book of Acts that an angel appeared to the apostles every morning. It was only once or twice in their entire lifetime. But we have the impression like this stuff happens every day. Mm-hmm. Well, I had a dream. The Lord had given me a dream, and I was just wrapped up in this thing like I was literally there. And in this dream, I knew exactly where it was. And I live in the south part of Pittsburgh here, and there's a place called South Park. I'm sure you've heard of it, South Park. It's a park, all right? And on Corrigan Drive, that's where the old swimming pool used to be. There's the ice skating rink. There's a massive parking lot there. Well, I don't know that they probably still do, but back in the day, you know, people would go hang out there, drive their cars up, and just hang out, try to act cool or whatever, you know, and all young people. So in this dream, all of a sudden, I'm standing in the parking lot, and I see a guy in a red pickup truck, and he's got his back, what do you call it, the thing that goes down the hatch, whatever it is, tailgate, and it's facing Corrigan Drive. He's sitting on there just acting cool, just looking around. There's all kinds of people there, and I'm standing there looking at him, all right? And all of a sudden, out of the right side of my vision here, this Christian comes walking up, and I could hear it. I was there. I could hear every part of the conversation. And he began to share with him about Jesus Christ, but he wasn't using wisdom. This Christian, he had kind of a cocky attitude, like kind of like, you sinner, you're going to hell, that kind of an attitude, you know what I mean? And I could see real quick that it wasn't going fast, it wasn't going far at all. In fact, as the conversation went on, I could see that this young man was getting really frustrated and irritated with this believer. And I'm sitting there like almost like I was like helpless. I was like, what are you doing? You know, mix some love with this. Mix some compassion with this when you're sharing with this guy. You know, he was just real cut and dry type personality. You know what I'm saying? No love mixed with it. The letter of the law. Huh? The letter of the law, but not loved mixed with it. And so out of frustration, I felt like I literally couldn't do anything. So the Christian just got frustrated, just walked away, and the guy he was witnessing to was, of course, he was really upset about this at this time, you know. But in the dream, all of a sudden, I was able to step into that right there and carry and take over where the conversation left off. In this dream, it was so vivid. I had goosebumps running up and down my back, which I'm not, you know, normally don't have that happen. And I started talking to this young man. He was probably, you know, 19 or 20 years old. And I started talking to him, and out of a heart of compassion, and sharing, tell him how much God loved him. God has a plan for him. You know, I don't remember all the details there, but he ended up giving his heart to the Lord in that dream. And then I woke up and I was in the anointing. I mean, I was on my bed, I just felt the anointing of God all over me. And the scripture came to me, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Now, that's only happened to me once or twice in my entire life, something like that. I've been saved since 1976. Okay? I'm not building a doctrine on that, but I'm saying of some having compassion, making a difference. Amen? And when you love people, it's so much easier to win them to Christ. Amen? And we have to give God a chance to clean people up. Amen. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, they may not look the part. They may not dress the part. They may not do this. Listen, give God a chance to help people. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Amen? They still may use foul language and stuff like that, but let me tell you, give God a chance. Give the Holy Spirit a chance to clean up their acts. Don't try to be Holy Spirit Junior. Are you with me? So, compassion. When you pray in the Spirit, well, brother, I wanted to come here this morning to hear something deeper. This is as deep as it gets right now. Are you with me? When we pray in the Spirit, we keep ourselves in the love of God. We have compassion, which ultimately makes a difference. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to become more of a person of love. I want to become more of a person of compassion and mercy. Why? Because as long as we're on this earth, there's room for improvement. Isn't it so easy to look at other people's faults? Are you with me? It's so easy to look at other people's faults and failures when we have to look within ourselves. And I believe this is where the Holy Spirit can help us. And notice verse 24, Jude 1:24, it says, "Now unto him which is able to keep you from what? Falling." In other words, messing up, stumbling. Why? When you're praying in the Spirit, you're hooked up. Amen? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. So the fourth, I don't know if I gave that to you or not, but the fourth benefit is your faith is stimulated. That was number four. Your faith is stimulated by praying in the Spirit. You keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy. You keep yourself from stumbling. And you're on your road to victory right there. Praise God. The fifth benefit is that you give thanks well when you pray in the Spirit. You give thanks well. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 says, "What is it then?" Paul says, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." Now, what does he mean by that? I'll pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. Well, the Spirit, of course, here is talking about the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues. And Paul says, I'll pray with, you know, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost language. And he says, but I'll also pray with my understanding also. Okay? Notice he says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, stop and think about this, folks, just for a minute here, that Paul, this was not a mistake the way that he worded this. Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit, number one. Number two, I'll pray with the understanding. So in other words, you start out in the Spirit. Now, we're not talking about something, you know, that's spooky or goofy or anything like that. We're talking about praying in other tongues. All right? And he says, when I pray in the Spirit, he goes, then I'll pray with my understanding. Because when you pray in the Spirit, then the Lord will begin to form and create the English words inside your mind that you are to pray out in English. Are you with me? And this is part of interpreting the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost prayer language. Now, this is not translation of tongues. This is interpretation of tongues. Are you with me? And so, what I want to, you know, I know this is going a little bit deeper this morning, but that's okay. I believe you can handle this morning. But you can begin to pray things out in the Spirit over your life, and then the Lord will give you understanding and wisdom. Okay, now I'm going to pray this thing out in English. See, I've practiced this so much in my life that it's just second nature to me to do this. Why do something that doesn't work? This works, and so I'll stick with it. If something works, I'm going to stay with it. Why throw it out? I'm going to stay with it. And there's been many, many, many times through the years where people have had me pray for them, you know, and not only myself, but other people have come to me in ministry and say, could you pray for me, Brother Keith? Could you pray over this situation for me? And of course, sure. That's why we're here. And so initially, back in the day when I was a lot more greener, as you would say, more green in the ministry, and I would instantly rattle off something in English. Oh, Lord, pray, you know, just pray out in English something, you know, real quick. Not that that was bad, but I could be missing something. I could be missing something. Now, I'll only do this if that person knows, if they're familiar with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to freak them out and speak in tongues. They don't even know what it is. Okay? See, we can't just, we have to use wisdom that way. And we'll see that here in a second here. If there's people that are unlearned, you don't pray in tongues like that if they don't understand it. Okay? But Paul says, I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with the understanding. So in other words, someone comes up to me and says, could you pray for my marriage? All right, I'm having difficulty in my marriage. All right, shombro kiste bre le kiste mosokita. Now, if they understand what I'm doing, we'll grab hands or whatever, and we'll just pray maybe a minute, 2 minutes, something like that. Shombro kodise frenda le gisa sisia namaka. Now, you can tell some people, even though they're filled with the Spirit, they're not acclimated to doing that because they get totally silent instead of joining in. Okay? And so what will happen is that out of that tongues, which is that supernatural language, well, all of a sudden you'll start to get a thought, an impression that'll come to your mind. An impression, a thought. And then you begin to give voice to that and you speak that, you pray that, maybe a scripture or something will come. And so I found myself many, many times praying in ways that I didn't think that I would pray because the Holy Spirit was leading me to do that. Praise God. Now, that's the way it is in our church services. I mean, I have notes and I prepare and so forth and so on. But I mean, literally every single service that I can remember, as far back as I can remember, the Lord will have me go different directions when I'm preaching here. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is wanting to get something across to help people that I didn't premeditate or think about. And I got a basic skeleton outline there, but you know, that we go by. But then the Holy Spirit can say, okay, come over in this area. Come over in this area. Talk about this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit loves to take over. You don't have to be afraid about that. Hallelujah. Well, Paul says here, what is it? I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. Notice Spirit, then understanding, not the reverse. Okay? Because then you have the tail wagging the dog. You know what I'm saying? But here he says, I'll pray with the Spirit, pray with the understanding. Sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding. And this is to be something that's to be done literally in the privacy of your walk with God, your private time with God, that you begin to recognize and get acclimated to flow in this way. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? Now, I remember back in the day when Y2K was a big deal, back right at the turn of 2000. You remember when that Y2K was a real big deal? And there was a lot of fear-mongering that was going on back in those days about the possible tragedies and things that could happen as computer crashes. And there were some major ministries at that time. I'm not going to name any names, but you know, if you recall, there was a lot of fear that was going on. There was more compressors that were being sold than if you're in the compressor or what do they call those things?
Generators,
yeah. And but there, if you were in that business, boy, you were raking it in. But I'll tell you what, after 2000 moved on and nothing happened, you couldn't even give them away. You know what I'm saying? But I had some minister friends of mine, even acquaintances and so forth, that were really into this, you know, and they're preparing their congregation for like a year before that. And I remember I was talking to this guy. He was a pastor. And he gave me information about that thick. Just copies of information about this. And so I'm thinking, you know, maybe I need to stay open to this thing. Maybe I need to really start preparing my congregation at this time. This is our first church. And, man, I've got books on it. I've got all this material on it. And I'm loading up. You know what I mean? Because I think if I can help our people, I'm going to do that. Well, some of you might have been there back in those days. But the good thing about it was, as I came home, had all this information, and the Holy Ghost says, throw it out. I didn't teach or preach about it at all. Never said a word about it. But I got home and I had all this information. I mean, I was loaded for bear, as they say, you know. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, throw it out. You're not going to need it. And my head was like, are you kidding me? I got all this information. But the Lord said, not audibly, but just inside my spirit, He says, get rid of it. You're not going to need it. It's not even going to affect you whatsoever. So in the trash it went. Never thought twice about it. Well, months went by. Some weeks went by. Before you know it, 2000 came. What happened? Nothing. Nothing. And it made a lot of ministries, it discredited a lot of ministries because of they thought that they were hearing from the Lord about this particular thing. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord was trying to show me that don't get on that bandwagon. Okay? Now, first of all, the Scripture says God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So if something's coming across, now the Lord can communicate things to you apart from fear. The devil is the fear monger. He's the one that brings fear. All right? And you do not have to be afraid of the last days. You know, there are people now, Christians right now, that are propagating getting dry food. The same thing happened. It recycles itself every so many years in the body of Christ. Get dry food. Get as many guns as you can, man. Oh, no. You know, I'm not against having guns whatsoever. You know, that's cool and that's good. But, you know, what's the purpose behind it? Well, the government's going to come in and take over. I want to listen. God's bigger than that. Amen. All right? Are you with me? And so this fifth sign here is fifth benefit is you give thanks well. Now, verse 16, it says this. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So real quickly here, Paul is saying here that if you're in a room of people, notice he says you give thanks well when you're praying in the Spirit. But he said, if you're in a room of people that are unlearned and don't understand this, he says, don't do this. So when you give thanks, in other words, when you pray over your food, we usually say, oh, Lord, bless this in Jesus' name, sanctify it. And that's good. That's great. But, you know, there's a better way to even say thanks. You can lay hands on that plate that you're about to partake of, and you can say, Shabrola kambesha kitomosinda barapa, amen. Now, your mind's like, well, what did you just say? The Bible says you gave thanks well. You gave thanks well. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's praying through you. Does he ever make a mistake? Absolutely not. Benefit number six, we've got to wrap this up here. Benefit number six, it is a means of spiritual refreshing. So the fifth benefit was you give thanks well. Number six, it's a means of spiritual refreshing. Isaiah 28, we'll just quickly read this and then we'll go to our last one here. But Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not all hear. Well, Brother Keith, that's the Old Testament. I know. But he is referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because just write this scripture down. Paul was actually referring to this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. Paul is referring to this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. He is referring back to Isaiah that this would be the time of refreshing. Hallelujah. This, he says, this is the rest. This is it. Wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, this is the refreshing. Remember the times in Acts chapter 2 that Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost and he preached after the baptism of the Spirit. And he says that repent and receive the Lord. And he says in times, not singular, but times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember that commercial years ago, the Nestea plunge? See that guy just falling backwards? You know, there's a better way to get refreshed. Amen. With stammering lips and another tongue. But he still went on to say, not all would hear it. And there are people today that fight it, but they'll just lose out on the benefit of it. Amen? That doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. It just means they missed out on the refreshing that's available to you. Yeah. All right? All right, the last thing I want to talk about here in our time that we have left is Romans chapter 8, if you would. Go over there. It's this last benefit. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Are you learning this morning? In Romans chapter 8, you know, this seventh and final benefit that I want to talk about here today is the ability to pray the perfect prayer. The ability to pray the perfect prayer. I'll say it again. The ability to pray the perfect prayer. There's a prayer, but then there's the perfect prayer. Thank you, Lord. All right, Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Paul said this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Now, that word Spirit is the Holy Spirit. "Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities," our weaknesses. "For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself," or itself, "maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now notice verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for the good for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." All right, now, very important scripture right here. We'll break this down here in conclusion today. But you'll notice in verse 28 that this is a very, very familiar, very popular scripture that people have quoted, of most of which people have taken this verse out of its setting, made it say something that it really doesn't say. People say, you know, well, Aunt Jane was in a horrible car accident. She is a believer, but we know that all things work together for good. Uncle Joe fell and broke his leg, but we know that all things work together for good. You know, Farmer Joe's chickens got run over by a truck, but we know that all things work together for good. That's not what he's talking about here. He is talking about believers that pray in the Spirit. Verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities." What's an infirmity? An inability to produce results because of the limitations of the flesh. The Holy Ghost helps our infirmities when we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In the Greek is inarticulate speech. Let me paraphrase what he's saying right here. Paul the Apostle is saying this: when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit of God will help us to pray in a language that's not our articulate speech, in our case, English. Okay? And verse 27 says that basically here he's saying that the Holy Spirit prays through us the perfect will of God. Yes. Amen. And he says he helps our, likewise the Spirit, verse 26, helpeth. Everybody say help. Now listen, what do you see what this word means right here in the Greek? It's made up of, this English word helpeth is in the Greek, is made up of three different words. And it means this: to take hold, together with, against. This English word is in Greek is three different words. It makes up this word. Help if means to take hold, together with, against. Now, what does that mean to me on this 19th day of May, 2013? He takes hold together with us against our infirmities, our weaknesses, our inability to produce results because of the limitations of our mind and our flesh. Now, let me give you an example, and this will help seal the deal here and help you understand this. If I had a big baby grand piano up here right now, just use your imagination. You know how heavy those things are. Years ago, I had someone ask me to help move one of those upright pianos. You know, I said, "Hell, sure, we'll help out." You know, man, it took three grown men to move that thing. What was it made of, iron or what? I don't know. It was one of these old pianos. Let alone a baby grand piano has a lot of weight. So for me, if I said, as the pastor of this church, I would like to have, it's too heavy, we need to move it from this part of the room to the back part of the room, hypothetically. And so rather than me do it all myself, which I couldn't do, I'm going to ask five men in the congregation that would stay after the service to help me lift that piano back to the back room. What are we doing? We're taking hold together with against the weight of that piano. So in other words, all the pressure's not on me. It's evenly divided, so it becomes much easier. Do you get that? Well, so what's the Holy Ghost do? He takes hold together with against our infirmities when we don't know how to pray. See, that's probably why a lot of people get so frustrated, like, wow, the weight of the world is just falling on me. I feel like it, you know, I just feel such pressure. Well, listen, there is one that wants to take hold together with you against the weight of adversity that you're facing. Hello. And when you feel overwhelmed and you feel like, dear God, everything seems to be coming against me right now. I got this thing, I've got this thing. And the devil likes to use what I call the pileup method. You know, he's thrown not one thing at you once. There's four or five things coming at you. And you want to go run and hide somewhere. Well, listen, the Spirit of God can help you take hold together with you against those infirmities. And I'll tell you, the greatest way to do that is by yielding yourself to that prayer language and pray that thing out. Here's what I do. Say, Father, you see that situation right there? That thing looks overwhelming to me. It looks like a mountain. But Lord, you said in your word that if I pray in tongues, I pray the will of God. Amen. So right now, here it goes. And I'll take off, just start speaking in tongues. And I'll say, I'm praying about that situation right now. And then I'll tell the Lord, I'm praying about that situation. Now I may do it for 15 minutes. I may do it for 20 minutes, sometimes even an hour, depending on the situation. And what happens is, after that time of prayer, praying in the Spirit over that, I go back into the natural, so to speak, and I say, no, Lord, I believe you're taking care of that. Now, of course, thoughts will come to you during that time like, that you just wasted an hour. Are you with me? No, we didn't waste an hour. You just prayed things out in the Spirit. I've seen some of the greatest miracles happen after a time of praying in other tongues. Some of the greatest miracles, some of the greatest breakthroughs I have ever seen in my life personally came after a time of yielding myself to this prayer language, speaking with other tongues. Thank you, Jesus. And let me tell you something. I choose to yield to Him, and I believe you do too. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. Well, what does he mean there when he says all things work together for good? He's talking about when we pray in tongues, when we pray in our Holy Spirit language, and we shopre lekita mosula mahatiyasikiyasukumbrakataniyasa shembrokotalesiata. If I walk up to Brother Ray and I said japora malagishte membrande kieleshishia karamasaka yesedronde lekista, so what am I doing? I'm praying the perfect will of God. Amen. Praise God. Praying the perfect will of God. And I don't have to be in His presence to pray with Him like that. I can do it apart from Him. There's no distance in the spirit realm. I could say, Lord, I lift up Brother Ray right now. I'm praying in the Spirit for him, or whoever else. I'm just using that as an example. See, there's consequences to sitting in the front. Amen? And it isn't bad either. Are you with me? So what are we saying here today, praise God? We're saying that there is a helper. And He is there to help you pray things out. And He's a lot bigger. And He wants to do things a whole lot bigger than you can ever dream, think, or imagine. I'll tell you that right now. And I think I've got good plans. I think I've got big plans. But, oh, let me tell you something. God's plans are so much bigger for you than you can dream, think, or imagine. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's just, you know, they that are here that are filled with the Spirit, let's just take a moment here before we leave here to speak in your heavenly tongue, if you would. If you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, just ask Him right there in your seat. He will fill you right now with the Holy Ghost. He will fill you to overflowing. All you got to do is ask Him. He'll fill you. Simo, seme, semaro, kula, korieta. Perenuka, manzer, tokuma, vire, bera, susufa, bera, dien, zibeva, riato, kumaha. Tren ben veni kalesa zufa mara gede dia jus mam bread de gede dia sisa sia lere bara mona moge bengla ktige de chul premenaka. Metof yisgeba atoma azi edema a jugumong legere si shishishia babrandolo koto. Keremina mosa. Keremina mosa. Taria susua. Parasifi via la caramang legere susa membrandia casasua. We thank you, Father. Manasi Christa kia shisha. Paranom brandia kaka. Lobo koro voto koko. Old Nikista. Old Nikista. Meneke shefila basombrandi kelebesisa soko. Just let the rivers flow. That river, Masiato, Masatielo, Masatielo, Mani dielegation over menagere nosa. Bedelo crambala garazin bedego babo kura mangalegere dishishia deba karmana. Zeboroba kura mamma kia sisia lagarena mamma kasadiaka. Mere makamohon rena megedia sisia la karasaka. Susua, samehidike basoka. Vera nafur and nivister vidros menavid brigadi babra kalamandro kokamana. We thank you, Lord. 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 Praise you. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Mande, mande, atiasto fredike jibah ramalage de shil balbondre de langmengo costa bebrena. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Makiso bakrosa la bredele benbera kalaka ha 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 ha. Sedeberena, sendeberenia, sendeberere bebebedia gede bobobobakosa. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remember, we're just being edified sitting right here as you're praying in that. Amen. You know, it's okay to do this in church. Do you know that? This is all part of our growing and learning right now. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I sense this rising up in me, just an interpretation of what we just were praying right here. And the Lord would say, there is a rest. And there is a refreshing. And so today, receive that rest. Receive that refreshing. And yes, receive that language that I've given to you from heaven. You're never, never, saith the Lord, in a position that you're helpless. You're never in a situation that help is not imminent. You're never in a predicament where the helper's not close by. For I've given you my Spirit, and I've given you my Holy Spirit, and I've given you my heavenly language, saith the Lord. So as you yield yourself, and you yield your tongue, and you begin to speak out in other tongues as my Spirit gives you utterance, you can rest assured that the troubled waters shall be made still. You can rest assured that your body will be healed. You can rest assured that the money will be there. You can rest assured that your son and your daughter is going to be all right. You can rest assured that all will be well when you yield yourself to me. For I am the standby. And I am standing there waiting for you to utilize your prayer language and that which I've given unto you. And then the saying shall come to pass, all things work together for the good for those that love God. For even as you yield to my Spirit and pray in other tongues, know this, all things are turning. All things are working out together for the good. And then you'll look and you'll see it with your natural eyes. Look, it changed. It changed. It changed. But know this, that the change didn't happen in the natural. It happened in the supernatural. It happened in the spirit realm first. And then there was a turnaround in the natural. So as you yield yourself to me, be encouraged, be blessed, and receive my language and operate in that language from heaven and watch things turn around, saith the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We receive that, Lord. We receive that, Lord. We receive that right now. We receive that right now. Praise God. Yeah, come on up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah, I was doing some praying back there as Pastor was speaking, and God really impressioned me to write this down, and I wanted to share it with everybody for edification. But
praise God.
It really touched me, and actually, this was Josh's idea, so to share it with you. So I'm going to take all the credit. But as I was praying in tongues, I felt the Lord speaking to me and to us. You are my children, and nothing will ever separate. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, no sin, no shame, no guilt, no condemnation anymore. Mm-hmm. You will never be perfect, but I am perfect.
Yes.
Take on me. Clothe yourself with me. Let go, and you will sing in freedom. Abide in me, and you will be free. Do whatever it is you wish, and I will lead you. Do not fight. I will fight for you.
Amen.